truck is so good.
It is. Clibbons.
They had to buy it.
Where'd you find this?
I do like this.
West Virginia.
Oh yeah.
God, did they have a variety of different trucks?
No.
Oh.
Brewed and canned and big truck beer too, was, Queenstown, Maryland.
This random place you went to had a the wild beer selection. And go to the peaches just, I don't know if they were just out from more of that company or what, but that was the one that caught my eye. So I bought a variety of things, and that was one of them.
Yep. This would have caught my eye as well.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Big truck. Who's it by? I haven't even tried it yet.
Oh, man.
Farm big, Brewery.
Big Truck Farm Brewery.
Crew Cab.
I just said that.
IPA.
Hop in,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's clever.
Solid design.
It's a solid design. Yeah, this is a very good design.
It's well laid out. I like the metallic on the label.
Yeah. Our flagship IPA is made with a truckload of Big Truck farm-grown Cascade hops, an all-American classic ride with flavor as distinct as Four Doors were back in 1977. One of a kind.
How can you not like it?
Their marketing team is on point.
Yeah, that's
Mike likes
good.
IPAs now.
No, I just like what they're doing here. I hope they brew other things.
I'm sure they do.
Do they have a small truck? And then they have like, it'd be a mini truck on there, just like should. Laid out.
Mini truck. Mini truck, small truck.
They have like a race car one and then like a not race car one.
Little Red Express.
Giant truck.
Oh, boy.
A chopper.
I didn't even see, where was this? Queenstown, Maryland.
Yeah.
So I was right on the border of Maryland.
Cool can.
Big Truck Farms on Instagram. I'm going to have to check that.
I should have known this. Nitro Fruit Tart, okay? I didn't read that. I just tasted it immediately, and I was like, ooh. Like a little, it's very tart. The peaches and cream is tart.
It's not that tart.
It's pretty tart.
Okay. You're tart.
What?
Tart, maybe, not tart.
Special, Kevin, special.
Oh, they do have other trucks. Oh.
Well, the name of it's Big Truck, so, you know.
They got one with a K5 on there.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's their blonde ale. God damn, it's a good-looking K5 on that.
I'm gonna have
Especially
to
that brewery's dope.
Yeah.
Especially got trucks.
What's this other one?
I don't know. I got to see this.
Oh, they got the Land Cruiser on their lager. Whew.
Land Cruiser lager.
Mike's going there tomorrow.
Dude. Yeah, I got to go there. Half cab hazy IPA. It's got a nice. Half cab's an old Bronco.
Oh, wow. All right.
Oh, yo.
Yep, big truck.
What is this?
The topless blonde.
Lime Cruiser. Did you see this one yet? Lime Cruiser?
I didn't see a lime.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Oh, Queenstown is it's right on the...
Oh, yeah, they're working on trucks. These guys know. Dude's got a K5 all blown apart in his garage.
It's on the little island portion of Maryland that's separate across the ocean from Baltimore.
Oh, that
that's
little...
It's the Chesapeake, but yeah.
Peninsula?
It's ocean.
It's not ocean. It's the Chesapeake.
It's a bay.
It's ocean.
It's a bay.
I mean, it's connected to the ocean.
Yes.
Yeah, but
everything connected to the ocean
but
is
it's
not ocean, though.
Not salty.
It's not salty?
No.
Oh.
Brackish.
It's in between.
But not even really. Like, you can't tell. It's
Look at the lineup.
Wow.
Yeah, the lime is the Mexican lager.
Yeah.
Then they've got a dually, the double IPA.
Yeah. Okay, look at that. They know. Double. They do
dually
know.
Double. I like it.
They know what's up. Look at all the layout on all the trucks.
Oh, man. Those would be ones for the walls.
I know.
Although, ironically, I think I like the crew cab can the best.
I like the Bronco one also. K5's not bad.
Cool cans. Shout out to Big Truck Brewery or Big Truck Farms at Big Truck Farms on Instagram.
Yeah.
Check out their beer lineup.
Whoever's doing your graphics on this thing.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Oh, look at
that. Also, if any of our listeners live there. I would like to send us some more of these.
Yeah, we're trying to get
some more flavors
trying
here.
Trying to get the full lineup.
Collect the can. Collect
yeah,
them all.
Yeah, I could find a way to order them. I imagine, you know that place in Porter's Lakes, the fancy beer place?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever asked to order anything through there? Because normally...
They still exist. I think they're closed.
I just went...
What?
I was just there today. Yeah.
I didn't go today, but.
Oh, wait. Oh, you're talking about the liquor
near
store.
Bueller's. The...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you're talking about Porter's Lakes Brewing that had a bunch of.
Oh, yeah. That place
no,
is
no,
definitely
no.
gone.
Yeah, no. No, but that other place, like normally a place like that will let you order things.
Probably.
Yeah, they might not distribute this far because it's smaller.
I could just go get some.
Or that.
Yeah, I mean, that's easier
not,
for
not,
me.
Not
but...
far for me.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the same location, so it is pretty far.
No, oh, for when I'm home. There.
Oh.
Wow.
Kick us off, Dave.
Well, welcome to the newest episode of A Few Deers Beep. I'm Dave, your host. Kevin, Mike, and Will.
You're the host now, huh?
The hostest with the mostest. Not really.
Then none of that is true.
It's probably the leastest.
It's at least a percentage of something, maybe.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. God, weather today is gross. Did you guys get hit with that giant like storm that rolled through?
The wet
flash flood.
It's just like torrential downpour. We heard they had the tornado warning doing his thing.
I feel like Wadsworth does that all the time and
nowhere else does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's only noticeable at ECS because it's directly across the street.
Yeah. Well, it's the like if you're there on a Saturday or Sunday, it's the 12 o'clock check they do. And then like if you're anywhere in Wadsworth, you're like, what? And they just check it every day at noon.
Yeah, they don't do it. They do the one in Fairlawn every Wednesday at noon.
Mm. Oh really?
So I would definitely hear it if it went off, but it never does other than the Wednesday noon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Wadsworth is particular about that.
I mean,
that.
It's kind of on the cusp of, like, from Wadsworth.
It does kind of feel like Kansas out there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, I feel like you're right on the cusp of Kansas. Like, it's right there. It's the same cornfield. Once you get, like, 20 minutes outside of Wadsworth, it's the same one to about Denver. It's one big, giant cornfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which reminds me, we're going to throw this in here at the beginning of the podcast this time, but I don't think we've got any suggestions on places to go.
Rip.
So send us places to go.
Yeah.
DM us on Instagram.
Queenstown, Maryland.
We'll pick the... I'm going to self-nominate that one.
Yeah.
But send us your suggestions, and then we'll put together a poll once we have enough suggestions, and we'll go somewhere.
Yeah, and what criteria? What are we talking?
Well, we already went over this. There's not really any criteria other than what
hours. If you have a suggestion on like the theme of vehicle you should take, or you know what I mean, like there's a vibe to some of that.
There can be yeah.
Not saying it's always gonna work out, but like twisty roads, something fun. Just scenery things, not necessary.
Something comfy. Yeah, that's fair.
Good options.
Rocks.
Might as well know.
Yeah,
I do like
rocks.
Could be rocks.
Could be sand.
Could be sand.
Could be water.
Could be dirt.
There's a lot of options.
Could be cactuses.
Yeah.
Cacti.
Boy, I don't think you're gonna catch a cacti in 12 hours.
How far is it?
Straight south, I think
you think?
Yeah, diagonal south. Texas has got to have
Texarkana.
He definitely gets some tumbleweeds, but I feel like you're getting towards the cusp of that. I don't know.
I don't know if we can get a cactus in 12 hours.
Depends on how fast you're going.
But cactus means tequila.
Mm. Not all cactus means tequila.
That's true. Oh, man, that'd be so good.
Yeah, because you don't start seeing them until like mid-Texas, right? You don't get...
I don't remember now.
Is it super familiar
it's
got to
be like It's got to be like the mid to west portion of Texas and over.
I only go through like the top bit of Texas.
That touches Mexico, so probably.
Yeah, the Mexico side of Texas. Ass. Yeah, for sure. But Texas
is
big.
But then you start getting them up there in Arizona and stuff like that, which is definitely more north, but
Nevada?
More west for us. So yeah Nevada. How far east though can you find a cacti? What's the next one over? What's more east of?
Boys, my geography not so good.
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma is all tumbleweeds.
No. That's okay. That's very
more,
southeast of.
It's a little
Texas.
North
Arkansas,
of Texas.
What?
Mexico.
No, it's directly east. It's like in between Texas and
Florida. It's on top.
What's all right there? It's like California,
Nevada,
Utah.
Colorado. I thought you said your geography isn't so good.
Well, Colorado. I went through Oklahoma, and I remember that one. I had to go junkyarding in Oklahoma for an alternator.
Did you find one?
I did. It was the only one around.
Oh, it is up there. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I know, because I didn't go through Texas on that trip.
I was thinking of Louisiana.
Ah, that's different.
That's definitely not
Creole.
I don't think you can get cactuses there.
No. You can get some other stuff.
You can get some gators.
Well, so you got... shoot.
What's to the left of Texas?
New Mexico. Mexico.
Is it like immediately border? Yeah, I guess you're right.
No.
Then Arizona.
New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona.
New Mexico up. And then Arizona and then California.
New Mexico has some cacti. Yeah.
For sure. I'm saying how far north can we go? Because north of New Mexico is Colorado.
Yeah.
They have cacti also.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess, like northern Arizona Colorado's, gets them. Yeah. So I don't know. Like
Colorado's
Flagstaff?
Like full spectrum state. Like it's got all of it.
You get all the bits.
Desert, cornfield, mountains.
So, I mean, if Colorado.
I'll be in Colorado this weekend.
Wow. Good for you.
Go pet a cactus.
Find a cactus.
Bring some cactus. I will. I'm going out for Overland Expo this weekend.
That's this weekend.
It'll be a good old grand old time.
Oh, look for Bridgestone.
Yeah. Are you guys a sponsor? Cool. Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
I mean, I don't know for sure this year, but I mean, we have been.
Yeah. So that'll be cool. That's my first time going to an overlanding event, which has been on my radar for
some time.
I'm not. I mean, how many Forerunners and Tacomas can have the same
rooftop tent?
Yep.
All of them.
That's. That's what you're gonna get.
Yeah. You know, but I guess they have bikes there too. You could, like, they have dirt bikes and like off-road bikes that you can take and
the adventure crowd.
Like, like they have like the classes too, and then they have like razors, I think, in some classes and like some other stuff. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm not writing off yet. I will never turn down a trip to Colorado.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's beautiful out there, especially this time of year. It's gorgeous, right? Well, it's gonna rain, I think, because of the hurricane, but
oh yeah, there's that thing over there. Yeah. Hillary. So. Yeah, it's looking like it's rocking California pretty hard.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of agua.
Yeah, they had an earthquake too, like same day. Wow. Like it was like a 5.0 magnitude earthquake or something.
Yeah, it was up there.
They always have earthquakes.
Yeah.
I know, but
five and some change was significant though.
Yeah.
I guess it did no damage from what I was reading about it. Hmm.
Not that really everything's wet.
Yeah, everything's moist.
Well rooted.
Look at that. Yeah. That's
less great. Crumbly.
Yeah.
I wonder if that does play a part in.
Well, it probably depends on the structure, but sure. I mean,
why wouldn't it?
I'm sure
if it's dry, it cracks easily. If it's wet, it's got some give.
Maybe. I don't know, but some like mud turns to cement when it's dry. Yeah. So.
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
But also, like, you know, the flash flooding aspect of those areas that aren't normally wet.
That would make the flash flood way worse.
Way worse.
Yeah.
Doesn't do the absorb.
Yeah, no absorb. Not quickly, at least.
No.
Well.
Jesus. A big old slap in your head on the mic there.
Yeah, what'd you bring for us for a topic today, Dave?
Nothing. Oh, come on.
Classic.
I mean, did anyone else do anything?
Come on, I talked about it.
Nice.
So
when
no.
When you got here.
Nobody else did anything?
No. Over lunch today. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
You guys had a cute lunch date. Adorable.
Yeah.
Where'd you go for lunch?
Tacos.
The taco place right over there? Oh, boy. So
good.
Oh,
the
so
one that's good. Like, they don't the one that, the good one where they don't speak English?
Yeah.
That one's got place. The best tacos.
Wait, have you been there?
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
How do you know?
I've known about it for years.
Lots of taco places that don't.
No. You go in there and you point at the number that you want and they make it and then you leave. And
no, they don't have a menu on the wall, so you don't point at anything there.
No. They did just reconfigure the whole inside, though.
Yeah.
Because they took over that other half.
Miss Julie's Kitchen, RIP.
I think they just moved.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
They, because they were that, what used to be Crispy Crunchy Chicken at the end of my street.
Mm-hmm.
That's now, Miss Julie's Kitchen, like, used to grab supplies from there, and they, like, make pre-made foods and stuff.
Oh, really?
You can go in and order stuff.
Oh, it's like catering?
Kind of, but, like, you know, you can, like, sort of restaurant supply-ish.
Oh, okay. So,
but
okay. That makes sense.
from my understanding.
Big catering.
Yeah.
They have the best tacos.
Well, we're really on a roll today.
I'm just watching Kevin put together his pedal set.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Maybe that's a new podcast. We each bring something to put together on the cast.
There's two different size bolts for this, and I'm so confused as to why. Because they're the same length, and this one has this weird shoulder on it.
Oh, shoulder.
For what?
And they all go to this.
Oh.
And it doesn't make any sense.
Text Shane, I don't know.
Ruh-roh.
Nah, I'm good.
There's instructions for the thing somewhere.
Shane made this?
They're piss poor.
Well, I'm not saying that. Yeah, Shane made this.
Really?
Yeah. Well, who else do you think made it?
Not Shane.
Shane was a while ago, so I just figured.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, tell me if there's a different bolt that goes in there and why they're different, and maybe somebody can enlighten.
Well, the bottom ones are
deeper.
Deeper.
So maybe
more depth.
No, they're the same length bolt.
So just give some reference here. Mike brought Kevin.
I delivered a pedal to Kevin.
What was the Turner?
Yeah.
Whatever billet
fancy pedal clutch
guy.
Pedal.
Yeah.
What does the box say? Turner billet. Adjustable pedal?
The competition is the ultimate clutch pedal thing. That's like the competitor in this space, yep. So I don't know what we call it.
Same thing. Is it not on the
box? Does it say ultimate clutch pedal?
UCP.
Because I think
the competitor
was,
is the garagistic, right?
I don't know. Whoever calls it the ultimate clutch pedal. They're smaller heads on whatever these are.
Yeah, I see that.
I don't know, man.
I just worked.
I didn't make this. I sat next to the guy who made this. That's how I know about this.
Yeah.
I did tell him to do the eccentric thing, though, because otherwise he couldn't adjust this. But he didn't make it go all the way around, which made me mad.
Come on, Shane.
You don't need to. It's fine.
Understandable.
I get it.
He'll never adjust it again.
Yeah. So what do we got?
Yeah.
Three level adjustment there?
Well, so this is for the over center spring.
Okay.
So that's your fulcrum point where it like halfway down stock, it'll... The spring assists you depressing the clutch.
Got it.
And then pulls the pedal back and gives you some feedback on the other half.
Got it.
You can adjust where that is in the stroke of the pedal.
Cool.
So for aftermarket clutch things. And then up here is your mechanical advantage on the master. So you can change how heavy or light the clutch feel is. So if you have a super heavy clutch, you can put it in light mode. Or if you have a super light clutch, you can put it in heavy mode.
That's cool. Nice.
And that, you know, because it's kind of a... awful place to get to adjust this, so we did the little eccentric thing, because then you can just crack it loose, adjust it, snug it down again, instead of trying to like move holes and slide bolts around or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of sharp bits up under dashes and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not a good time.
No.
But I do like the master adjustment, I think.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know. Heavy clutches never bother me, you just kind of get used to those, but like super light ones, never,
awful.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's awful. Like I drove one of those, the Jeep Gladiators when I was at Jeep Beach earlier this year, like just to move it. And I was like, this clutch is awful. It was so light.
Yeah, well.
And I was like.
OEM clutches for the most part for you.
It's not a good time. But.
Yeah.
You gotta install it while we're sitting here?
Good.
You good?
My clutch feels really good with the twin disc in there, so
yeah,
no reason to change it other than the fact that I could kick off the factory clutch pedal by accident. So,
oh yeah, that was the whole main thing, is the factory clutch pedals are plastic.
Yeah,
so they flex a bunch, especially if you have a heavy clutch, and then they can break over time. So the billet aluminum
billet
is French.
That would work in E39. I don't think so.
I don't think it's the same. Maybe with some tweaks, it's probably similar, but
yeah.
You have a pedal that's like a foot higher than the other one or something.
Just give it a few months to probably make one for it.
I doubt it.
Not for an
E39. Yeah, I guess not.
No.
Unless it gets shared with something else. But,
yeah. E46 would be the other one for a pedal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
they
there's a potential.
Fit, I think they fit both.
Do they?
Well, at least the garagistic one fits both.
I don't know. Like I said... I sat next to the guy who made it, so that's why I know some things about it and some details, but not much.
Understandable.
Speaking of clutches, I was watching something the other day online, and it was talking about some sort of adjustment, like when you install a new clutch, there's an adjustment that needs to be met between the pressure plate and the throttle bearing. Does anybody know? Does that sound familiar to anybody?
Well, I mean, it depends. Like with
some, clutches are adjustable, some are not.
Well, no. He's saying, but throttle bearing.
Yeah. Throttle bearing placement is very important.
Right.
Yeah. But
yeah, because you don't want, you know, with aftermarket clutches, maybe the pressure plate sits in a different area, right? So, like, I don't know.
Well, it should not.
Yeah, it depends on what the clutch is designed for. It depends on if it's like, you know, a swap or something like that. Mm-hmm. If you're using like adapters, things like that. If you're using an aftermarket or like an adjustable throw-up bearing, like you need to set all that stuff.
Because
I think when you start getting into like twin discs and triple discs and all that other stuff, then it's that all goes out the window, and you definitely need to set that because you need the throw-up bearing to have enough space to fully disengage or to engage a clutch, and then enough throw to fully disengage it.
Yeah, because you don't want it to be in between because it'll just cause wear,
it'll either not work. Release fully or it won't engage fully.
What is that called? I don't remember what it was called, but that's
it's like a free play on the throw bearing. But if they're too close, you know, as a clutch wears, the fingers get closer to the throw bearing over time.
Right.
So you need a little bit of a gap there. Like, depending on the setup, but like that's the important part to measure for the tilt.
If it's not a self-adjusting clutch, then you need the gap. A self-adjusting clutch should.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what I was watching the other day, but that was information that I was unaware of.
It's one of those things that like your average consumer doesn't have to worry about if you're buying like a kit that's made for something.
It usually comes with the right spacer or whatever you need to put in. Like, I had to put one on my C5 for the spec clutch.
Yeah, that's normal. It's usually like if you're going to like the 4-speed dog boxes and stuff, or you have a different bell housing, that people start shimming those around and you have to measure things.
I think that only applies to hydraulic throw-up bearings. I mean, anything with the clutch fork, I mean, it shouldn't.
As long as it can't bottom out.
Yeah.
But usually there's enough play in there or space in there to get by.
Yeah, with the slave cylinder. But yeah, not something your average person has to worry about. Like I said, swapping things or putting a different transmission onto something with, you know, then you gotta figure that stuff out. But
yeah, it's common with all the multi-plate stuff.
Yeah,
like all the little quartermaster guys, I know that's like their thing is like, hey, we don't set this up for you, you need to figure this out on your own.
Yep.
Here's the adjustable throw-out bearing. Yeah, depending on if you got, you know, which disc
that does seem like a nightmare to have to set up though.
Like depends on your trans. Like if it's the removable bell housing stuff, it seems like it's not that bad.
Yeah, cause... I mean, I guess hopefully you're not doing it in the car, but it kind of seems like you have to do it in the car. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good time.
Well, that's the thing. Like even in the car, like you throw the separate bell housing stuff, like a T56, you bolt the bell housing up, and then it's like a flat measurement off the back of where the trans bolts do, and then like you can just measure what it's going to be and be like, oh, okay, I need this one. But when it's like integrated and you have to, it's harder to check.
Yeah, so. But then when you have like hydraulic throw-up bearings, like you have to figure out what the stroke of it is because you don't want to overextend it.
And it's like, pretty hard to overextend any of those. Like,
oh, it's some brain power required.
The overextending is never the problem. It's always like it won't release fully. That's typically the fear. Because then they'll just like wear a little bit, and then it just can slip just a whisker all the time, and then the thing turns to goo when it melts. So.
Yeah, not a good time.
No.
Well, clutches are expensive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't bought a clutch. Well, I haven't had to buy a clutch since I left ECS.
Did you just put one in the diesel?
You had one put in the diesel.
No, I didn't.
Oh. I thought you did that.
Yeah,
No, I didn't.
Dave wouldn't do that himself.
No, why wouldn't I? I knew that, but...
Why wouldn't
I? You wouldn't.
It's not above me.
Maybe not, but Mr.
But clutches and
everything. There's still warranty on it. Yeah.
No, warranty's gone now. That's all my responsibility. No, I put the what's it
clutch.
Called? The bleeder block is what failed. So I didn't end up having to put a clutch in it. I just put the ECS bleeder block in it and fixed the problem. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure you just doing it anyway because
I was hypochondriac thinking he needed a clutch when it was not a clutch.
Yep.
That makes sense. I do remember you did talk about doing a clutch on the wagon though. That's why it's relevant to
That's why I said I didn't know if it was the clutch or if it was just this, but I said I'm just gonna check this first because it's cheap. And
I forget, I think you answered this, but you said, is the clutch in the Corrado good to go for some pow pows?
Stage two, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
South Bend stage two. So it's like 400.
I don't know what that means.
Rated at 400 torque.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
It's not enough.
He's not making that.
No, I don't want to make that in that car.
Why wouldn't you?
It's too much.
How do you know?
What?
In a front-wheel drive car? What's the point?
It's not too much.
There's never too much.
Anything over like 300 horse in a front-wheel drive car is silly.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, but you're wrong.
That's front-wheel drive is like the best reason to do the absolute most you possibly can, because
I don't agree with that either.
Well, why not? I mean, it's not going to be like, I don't know. Why not?
Because it just doesn't work anymore. Every time you touch the throttle, you go straight.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And unless I'm just going to drive it straight.
Yeah, but that's the only way it can be fun.
I mean, yeah. But in the same token, they don't put power down typically in front wheel drive. So like 250 horse feels like 500.
Unless I,
boost by gear or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Right now? Yeah, we'll get there.
Will you?
Well, no, I was going to get into some not so good updates, but
excuses.
Oh no,
your excuses.
Nope. Not excuses.
Okay,
I'm in the process. We got to figure it out.
All right,
but what else are we talking about today? We're just kind of rambling on here.
We talked about going back to some of those topics that were suggested, and Pete's were, we covered two of his out of the four.
Mm-hmm. We covered one of Sean's with the 3D printing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everything else he said was already done, basically. Yeah. Not that we have done all of them recently, but more or less.
Might be paperwork.
Okay.
So, yeah, that basically went nowhere.
Well, we appreciate the suggestions anyways.
Yeah. No, it's good to have.
Did Pete's other ones require research then?
Yeah, it was Horatio's drive thing, and I don't Horatio's drive. Sorry.
I don't even know what that is.
It's my cell phone.
No.
No, Horatio's drive.
Oh. The first person to drive cross country in something made in Cleveland to Winton or something.
What?
Here, I'll look it up. Beep boop, beep boop, beep boop.
America's first road trip.
Okay, he's got it.
8 out of 10. IMDb.
Is it a movie?
2003 documentary.
What? And what's it? What's it in?
Uh, 1903.
Okay.
Did the drive? You know.
Wow.
Across the country. Oh, that's rough.
Dr. Horatio Nelson Jackson set off from San Francisco in a 20 horsepower Winton supercar. Touring car, not supercar, hoping to become the first person to cross the United States in the newfangled horseless carriage.
Can you imagine doing that?
Pete's topic was tell the story and then what would you do differently?
Okay.
So
we got to watch it first.
Probably have to watch it.
You definitely have to watch it.
We can table that for...
Yeah, we're going to have to. I mean, what would we do differently? How can you say what you would do differently?
Well, I wouldn't do it in 1903.
Why not? I mean, it'd be badass.
I'm going to have to table that until forever. So,
well,
I mean,
I'm just not big movie watchers.
I'm not a big like old-timey story kind of guy.
When did the movie come out?
2003.
Okay. Fast and Furious 1 era?
I mean, this thing has like wooden wheels and no roof or anything.
Wooden wheels, and they call it a touring car, huh?
It was 1903.
Yeah. So?
When did the Model A come around?
1920? Well, like 17 years later.
That's like the technology was not even close then.
Yeah. You could have put rubber on there, I'm just saying.
Wait, was it completely wood or just wood and rubber, Kevin?
I think at the time it was like
could have been leather.
Yeah, probably. That makes more sense.
I mean, that's not going to last.
Can you imagine trying to drive on the roads that don't exist?
That's what I was just wondering. 1903, like, what even...
Did he even...
What path would you have to right. take to get there? Because it's probably pretty ridiculous.
Well, and if you're coming from San Francisco,
it's
that's...
It's like you take Route 66, you know?
Right. That wasn't... When did they... When was Route 66? That was what?
He probably invented Route 66.
Maybe that's the story. Maybe could we should be. Watch the freaking movie.
I don't know.
What is a Winton?
It went,
it
like...
a touring car.
From San Francisco up into... Was that Oregon? Yeah. Or Washington. Which
it's
one's
going
first?
The wrong direction.
Whichever
already.
One's next to California. And then Idaho, Nebraska. Now I'm doing geography. Whatever's next to Iowa, Illinois,
Minnesota,
Indiana, Route, Ohio.
Route 66 was established in 1926.
This is roughly Route 90.
Maybe that should be our listener suggestion. Route 66.
I think you can only do like four states worth of it though nowadays. I don't think you can do it all the way across.
What do you mean?
I think it's this.
Oh, something did happen
yeah.
recently, didn't it?
I think they shut down a section of it.
Yeah.
For or they got rid of it or something. I don't know.
Because I know that might even be more entertaining. Like detour.
Yeah, dude, that'd be cool to do a cross country tour, but no highways.
Ooh.
Think about the scene.
That's such a long time.
I've also been looking into that. They do that. You can get on that train thing, the train from Chicago, and take it all the way to California.
Train would be dope.
I would do that.
I like a train. Really.
Yeah, trains are cool.
Trains haven't been doing so hot lately.
Yeah, we should support them.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. What was our things for the road trip? What was the parameters? Just to
ideally,
remind people here.
Well, no. Not necessarily a road trip, but a destination, preferably.
Sure.
It could be a road trip. It's a little more complicated, potentially a little more expensive, potentially takes a little more time. But we're talking like a long weekend sort of dealio, right? Like a four-day weekend or something like that, maybe. Ideally within 10 to 12 hours.
You're right, doing a four-day weekend and to have a 12-hour drive both ways?
It depends. I mean, I would take more time off if I wanted to, but
okay.
We'll see. I mean, less time is better. I'm just saying I think we'd be willing to do 10 or 12 hours. That's probably just kind of our limit, perhaps. And then, I don't know. Yeah, just not like crazy expensive. Like we say, don't suggest the whole... A little Talladega Airbnb or whatever, because right. that's just we can't do that. We don't have that many friends or that much money.
Did I look at this up last time?
Yeah, yeah. It was expensive. Okay. It was very, 18 grand, 19 grand.
I want to say $2,000 a night or something. $2,500.
Yeah, total trip was pricey.
Yeah,
maybe it was like $10,000. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Nah, we're not doing that.
Yep.
Unless we start a Patreon and people start sending us money for the podcast, which will never happen.
I suspect we wouldn't get very much money from that.
I mean, people won't even... Kevin, have you gotten any DMs about beer exchanges at all lately?
Oh, speaking of which...
What do you mean me?
Maybe...
You clearly don't read the podcast descriptions. It says DM Fiznizzy for a beer exchange for a few deers beep.
What the fuck?
It does actually say that.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
But why? I did notice something on
you're the guy.
Spotify earlier today, and I'm not sure if this is significant or not, but if you click on our podcast,
yeah.
and you go to more like this,
yeah,
it says can't find any suggestions. Almost like it doesn't know how to categorize our podcast. So I'm wondering if there's something we can do to like tag it in more ways or something like that, because that makes me wonder if other pages aren't suggesting ours because it doesn't know how to categorize it, you know?
Okay, that's valid. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. I don't have a Spotify like dashboard for our podcast. It all just goes through Buzzsprout.
Okay. Well,
but I can check.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that would suck if we have been missing a mark this whole time.
That's a possibility.
Where does it say that?
In the podcast description for the episodes.
It does not.
Okay, well, you're wrong. So
He's on Apple. You have to click on the individual.
Yeah.
You type that. You add that line on every one?
On every single podcast that has a description, yes.
What the fuck?
Mr. Dave doesn't ever do anything.
Well, it's copy-paste.
You don't.
No, I mean, sometimes early on I was writing full-blown descriptions for the episodes.
I'm pretty lazy with it now. Yeah. Like, tangents.
Follow along as we tangent from grid life recap to other few other topics.
Yeah.
Exclamation point.
Yeah. A few other topics.
Yeah.
Helpful.
You're trying over there.
I was.
I mean, to be fair, when we leave, I don't know what we talked about. You know, by the time I walk out that door.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have that.
It's all right, though. It's not a wasted effort. It's just a not utilized effort. It's
fine. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in between.
Yeah. Good, but not good.
Hmm.
Could be better. Could improve.
Good.
But yeah, no, I'll look into that and see you. I don't know. Maybe there's like some hashtags you can add to like the podcast or something like that to see. Hey, what's the model
that like? It's a GS500. GS500E. Yeah.
That's what I suspected that phone call was about.
Nice. Look at that. Making moves.
Or the FBI's on their doorstep.
If any government agency is raiding my house, it's not going to be the FBI. I tell you that right now.
DEA.
No, it'll be the ATF.
You only have one of those things.
That's fine.
Anyhow. Got any news for us, Dave, then, since we don't have a topic?
You know, I got to start screenshotting this stuff or, like, writing it down, because I was looking at... Chevy is no longer planning on producing the Camaro for the 2024 year and up, or they're canceling it for 2024?
They've said that, like, every generation
They're basically switching... They're getting rid of the Camaro and making it the Chevelle. They're rebranding. And I kind of looked into this a little bit because I was just curious. Because I've seen like Trans Am Depot makes all the, Firebirds, Trans Ams, GTOs, etc. out of Camaro bodies. But I don't know if it's GM specifically or if it's Trans Am Depot that's making them. But they're... The only thing that they're keeping from the Camaro chassis currently is like the front windshield. Like that's the only thing that's going to be the same, but everything else is supposed to be new. I don't know how true that is, but so basically they're going to stop producing the Camaro and start producing the Chevelle, I think not next year, but the following year after that. So
that'd be interesting. Bye-bye Camaro. Cool. I would like a fastback looking thing.
I've seen some renderings of it and honestly the Dodge Challenger is a good comparable, like, new but old style. It kind of has that same feeling, but overall it's the renders that I've seen, they look, I hate to say it, but it looks like Camaro with the body kit, just because the windshield line is very similar.
I hope not because that would be cool. I mean, they've obviously been making the Camaro forever, and Chevelle has not been around for quite some time, and that would be sick to bring that back.
They look cool, and this kind of opens the door. I wonder if this is, you know, obviously all these companies are starting to move into like a more EV like friendly.
You mean it looks like a Challenger with a body kit?
Camaro with a body kit?
Challenger.
So you think it looks like a Challenger?
It does, a little bit.
It's longer. It's got the long hood and like the...
So it's a Camaro,
but it's got the four headlights and the same kind of configuration.
It's a retro throwback, and the Challenger's has been the only good one of those, honestly. So
yeah, as much as I actually
good one. No, Dave was saying it looks more like a Charger than a...
Oh like, man, it looks like Challenger. To me. That looks like a Mustang with the Challenger front end.
See, that's what I was saying. Like, it's kind of weird looking.
Oh, that's weird.
But I don't know if that's how it'll show up. Yeah, but What I was getting to is
they're not selling that one.
No.
I wonder, you know, everyone's pushing EV stuff. I wonder if we're going to start seeing companies grasping at like the last bit of their roots to produce performance cars before EVs are like strictly the only thing that are allowed to be produced.
I don't know about that. I think you're going to see a lot of the same running gear with different bodies, essentially, like the same platform, so then they don't have to go through the EPA stuff again.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when you think about it, that's what they did in the 60s and 70s anyways. I mean, if you look at every, you know, the Firebird, the Camaro, like even in the 70s, it was all this, essentially the same body. I mean, the only thing that were different were some of the front nose clips and the engines. So, I mean, you're going to run into that anyways. So I don't see why they wouldn't. But it's cool to see that companies are trying to do retro throwbacks still, and they're not giving up on it completely.
Yeah, I don't really
care. That rendering makes me more mad the more I think about it.
Looks like it was really Malibu-y, not, it's really not good. I don't know.
Yeah.
It reminds me of like a car from like Grand Theft Auto 3. Like, so, you know how it's like
I know exactly.
Similar
what's
to
it
something?
Called?
Yeah.
What's it called though? It's called
I don't know.
Was it not a Chevette? I'm trying to think of the Grand Theft Auto name.
I don't know now.
Grand Theft Auto cars.
Yeah. But no, I don't know. It's kind of cool. That kind of ties back to them bringing back the G8 or GTO maybe, which would be, if they brought back the GTO, I'd be stoked about it. I'm sure it would look like every other, you know, one, but yeah, I don't know.
But would it be a Chevy GTO?
It would be like Pontiac probably, but.
Can I bring back Pontiac?
No.
Not I just know. For a GTO. Yeah. And no. They wouldn't bring it back for anything else. So.
Also, I don't understand this. All these car companies have this technology, and we may have touched on this before, but like, why don't they make repops of old cars with like the old bodies? They have all the stuff.
Safety.
Yeah, you think?
They don't have all the stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and they don't.
Molds do wear out.
Yeah.
And you have to purchase. I mean, you can only make so many stampings, even out of steel or whatever, with a mold.
Wouldn't it be sick if you could like buy like a 1968 Camaro, but like it was all like new? Kind of like how Porsche does or Singer
did
does.
It. Yeah. Or for the Miata, they fired up, well, not old, they made new molds.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Yeah, so they did all that. You have like the factory restoration thing, like you give them a thing and they give you a brand new one back. That's pretty cool, but. Yeah.
That, I don't think they can sell them as like a 2023 though, because like it doesn't meet all the standards of today.
Yeah.
So like, and there's certain like production numbers you have to stay under to be able to produce stuff like that.
Right.
So I'm sure there are, but like it's always going to be priced out of my interest level.
It's basically factory restoration at that point.
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah.
There's a couple, I think Land Rover was playing with that too. There's a couple companies that were doing it. Not just Mazda.
Yeah, it seems pretty cost prohibitive.
Who
for
got
us
the
layman?
Yeah. Who what country got, so they released the new Land Cruiser, right?
I don't know.
One of the another country got the old body Land Cruiser with all the new tech.
So they've always done that.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. I read something
pretty
about that too.
Common in like Africa and South America, a lot of regions.
Well, but it's
like
got
that.
All the updated like, you know, technology in it, and like all the electronics and everything are updated, but it still looks like the old Land Cruiser. I don't have to look and see what it was.
Countries without safety standards or emission standards. That's where then they do that.
Yeah,
and they just keep updating the chassis to like.
It's like, hey, we got a bunch of this leftover shit. Like,
yeah. Let's just run this tooling till it's dead. I think like you get the original Volkswagen Beetle till like 2006 in South Africa or something like that.
Yeah,
still making them brand new.
That was wild.
I guess like the panel started like fitting real bad because the tooling's just like clapped on everything. But
wow,
it's kind of cool.
It'd still be cool to have like I have a 1960s look Beetle, but it's a 2013 or whatever. But
yeah,
that'd be cool.
It would.
But yeah, I don't really have much for news besides that stuff. That's the only thing I kind of noticed. I haven't really looked much.
Okay.
But. There's an article on the Drive about emissions defeat stuff.
Okay.
They are moving the, you know, emissions defeat stuff as a secondary kind of priority. They're not getting rid of it, but. They're focusing on other things for
cruise ships
2024, 2027. No, it's like coal, ash, and air quality things, like water quality
stuff that actually matters, versus
climate change, and some other stuff. I don't know. I feel like some of this emission stuff might be roped into the climate change part of the aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem kind of like a blanket statement for their number one priority that would definitely potentially include that. So I don't know, people are like tooting their horn and SEMA, they're like, yeah, it's great, there's a win-win.
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, I wouldn't be so sure.
I mean, you got to think of it as like a corporate entity too for the EPA though, and they have to like look like they're still actively going after stuff. Yeah. And yeah, staying on the same thing forever is not going to work that way. So
yeah,
by all means, move on. I'm all
yeah
for
I mean
it.
They I think they made their point for like big companies, and they're yeah, they, you know, companies are nervous about doing certain things now, so yeah, I think that's probably enough for them. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I feel like there's larger problems. I mean, well, think about like commercial that, travel. I mean, that's the cruise ships and jet plane, and like, I mean, that's, I don't know, you're putting out 16 times the emissions of a car.
Cruise ships,
whatever,
one thing. That's like a luxury yeah, vacation thing.
Yeah.
Planes, I don't know.
I'm talking like
I wouldn't
private
be surprised,
jet planes, stuff like
planes
that.
Planes are pretty efficient.
I was going to say, like, I wouldn't yeah, be surprised if you were going to cart, you know, 200 to 400 people across the country. I mean, a plane's going to be more efficient than them all driving.
True.
Right?
Oh, for sure. So and just the time, like the just runtime alone, like
yeah,
there's no way you could.
There's, I can't imagine. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, private stuff. Meh. Those are also.
In year 2000, airline travel officially became greener than driving. By BTU per passenger mile.
Okay.
What year was that?
BTU. By BTU. Who cares?
That's a weird. Yeah, what?
Thermal units? Like, I'm not worried about heating up the air. Like, what? Putting all the gook out
well,
there is a problem.
Technically, it is, you know, a measure, thermal gases, measurement is energy. Like, it's.
Yeah.
Because that's the same as a calorie or a joule or, like, yeah, you know, just all different ways of measuring it. So, I mean.
But it's not emissions based.
No, like, no. It's definitely not emissions based, but.
Like global warming based, like
it's, no, well, it's here, just here like go, a fuel efficiency based.
Yeah,
this puts it a little more in perspective. Domestic airliner can get anywhere between 45.5 to 77.6 miles per gallon per passenger.
Per passenger,
I was gonna say not per gallon. I was like bullshit, and then per passenger, that makes sense.
Right, you gotta. There's too many variations.
That's a lot of, that's a lot of math.
This is what do you have? 150 passengers typically on.
Depends.
That's a small plane if you're yeah, for going that far.
Well, I mean, I feel like
most are
in,
probably about 200
in country. Yeah. Is it 200?
Okay.
747s. What? How many?
I don't know.
I'll count tomorrow.
I don't pay attention when I get on the thing, but like, it didn't seem like that many people out standing waiting in line. But
God, I hate when people fucking do that
massive,
shit.
Yeah. Right.
No, they're not. That's like a normal size.
It's a standard.
Yeah, yeah, standard size.
Which
plane.
Actually, I think is retired now. I don't think the 747.
They're not making new ones. Yeah. No, they're still in. They're still in service, rotation.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that is massive. What are you talking about? Four engine 747, 416 passengers.
So that's
727.
737.
Yeah, 737. What you're thinking
yeah,
of?
Probably.
Oh. I don't know. That's it's the row layout. I gotta look
yeah,
at the seating.
737
layout.
Is 130 to 230
yeah,
seats.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. Have any of you guys been on one of them double decker planes, them fat boys?
Oh, yeah, those are the international boys.
Yeah.
Have you? When I went to Germany, that's I don't know if it cool, was, it must have been double decker, but it was like super wide. I remember that.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah. Like
I need to go to Germany.
That's five seats in the middle row, and then yeah,
I was like dead center.
Oh,
and there's
no,
like 10 to my left and 10 to my right. Yeah. It's like, whoa. But they got the TV stuff on point, and granted, this is 10 years ago, and like, the movie stuff was on point because otherwise it would be unbearable.
Yeah. Like cabin fever for real.
Yeah.
How long is the flight from here to Germany? Something like that.
I feel
eight,
like. No.
It's. I was going
to
say.
Eight
like,
to your first connecting flight, usually.
I had a straight.
Well, you can get direct.
Yeah,
I was going to say like 12 hours or something like
I
that.
I thought it was like 14-ish, but maybe. It's a long time ago.
That's a long time to be sitting in a seat.
Yeah.
Doing pretty much nothing.
It's not even driving a car, except
well, you could, driving a car gives you something to do.
Yeah. 10 hours.
True, 10 hours. That's not bad.
Okay,
that's with a stop.
Oh,
is that time zone stuff? Well, no, because that would no, they don't count that.
I don't remember. Don't know. Maybe a connection somewhere weird.
Maybe.
I know that was the time that I got pulled for
planes
the
are faster now. You know,
you got pulled for what?
I set off the explosives machine going to at the airport in Boston.
Didn't we just talk about this?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that
on
was
the,
that was
podcast?
The time.
On, yeah,
that's
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Just make sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Unpleasant
planes.
It was fun. No, everyone was nice. It was fine. Everyone was mad at first, and then they figured out I wasn't trying to kill everybody. And they're like, "Oh, this is funny."
Well.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Yeah, I just clicked on flights from Cleveland to Frankfurt, and there's one for $587 round trip from Aer Lingus.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's what we're going to fly to Dublin on.
That's cheap.
$550 from Philadelphia to Dublin.
That's real
Aer
cheap.
Lingus. Aer Lingus. Okay. It's Irish. It's
7
yeah.
hours.
Yeah. Wow. 7 hours. Is it direct?
No.
Oh. But still, for the price?
My the one I was looking at was direct for $550.
Wait, no, that's a layover.
Round trip.
The layover is 7 hours.
Yikes.
I mean, that's fine. Hang on now.
It's 16 hours total.
See, that makes more sense. Oh, with the layover?
With the 7-hour and 15-minute layover.
Okay. And that's not even really long enough to get a hotel room either. That's like a stick it out in the airport.
Oh, you could leave.
You think?
I'd leave
for
that.
I would consider leaving, yeah.
I mean, I'd leave, but like...
I'm not hitting all the tourist spots, but I'll go grab a sandwich somewhere, do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? That's just not a relaxing time if you're on a layover. You'd be like, I need to make it back.
I would be so drunk if I had to stay in the airport for that.
Oh, boy.
Cheap.
Yeah. That's not bad.
That's in November.
So. Still not bad. That's really not that far out. Interesting.
Do you trust the Irish to do planes?
What if you get on a plane?
It's racist.
And remember freaking... Yeah, Andrew Kevin? Video guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
if
God.
He was your pilot.
You saw him getting on the plane as the pilot? I'm
like, bro.
Who?
I don't we discussed
remember
this
our
before.
Video, part-time video guy for a while?
Axel Digital.
Axel Digital, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I get on a plane. It'd be fun, at least, for like, I don't know.
I don't know that it'd be a ton of fun.
I don't know, man. I trust Andrew. He's a smart kid.
I'm trying to get in the cockpit if he's in the plane. That's.
I bet it. Well, he flies with what?
Delta?
Is it Delta?
Or it used to be Delta.
United? One of those two, I think it's. If well, I ever catch him on a flight, like if I get him on my flight tomorrow and he's there, I'm bugging him. I'm going in the cockpit, let me in.
Yeah, let me use that jump seat.
That seems like a less comfortable seat than even
the fellas. I'm not spending the whole flight there, but okay.
I just want to look at the beep boops. I don't want
to. Hey. Look at that. That's doing stuff. Yeah. Oh, shit.
I'm going to judge your landing from inside the cockpit. Like, I don't know. What a time
while
to be
he's
alive.
Posting on his Instagram story or whatever, he's trying to land a plane. Like, hey, buddy, nope.
With his little mustache he's got now.
Yeah. Pilot stash.
What a character.
Oh, no. I just expect... people that are pilots and stuff, I just expect them to have more like mechanical awareness.
No, dude, it's way worse.
It's so bad.
I realize that.
Yeah.
Now,
dude, I've seen some of those pilots get on a plane and I'm like, that's our fucking pilot? I'm like, that dude just like got off a 3-day bender. Like, why is he our pilot?
I forget. What was
that's
it? When we
thing,
were coming back from, I don't know if it was Georgia or Vegas or something like that. Didn't one of the pilots say something about, we're figuring out something with one of these cables, something. They just like, just.
No, it's when we were stuck in Georgia.
Was it Georgia?
Because just the thing that makes the airplane go up and down on the tail, whatever that's
elevator.
Called. Elevator, yeah. It was like, had a fault or something. That's good.
Yeah.
It was just like one of those things where you're like, man, like the mechanically speaking, like the guy flying it in didn't realize there's a problem. And right when this thing's about to turn around and leave, that guy is like, might be a problem. And then they like couldn't figure it out. The flight was just.
I feel like they have to know like a little bit, though. Like,
I mean,
more than we probably are giving them credit for. You don't think?
Maybe.
I mean, they have to
go
to flight school. They have to know like so much stuff.
I went to college with these guys for the most part. Like, that was my first school, was half flight school, half engineering for the most part.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't know. I'm telling you, like, every time, like, you
they
try to go...
They are desperate for pilots now.
Yeah. Yes, you try to go into worse. Town and, like, like, just a ride to Taco Bell in someone's car who's a pilot, bad time. Like, they might be able to fly, but they can't drive. It's like a... For whatever reason, you can't have both. I don't know what the deal is. Terrifying.
Do you know that they could fly?
They made it. They came back down every
They're
time.
Not dead.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a pass-fail situation.
Well, same could be said about the car, then.
I guess. I don't know. You're not clanking into stuff in the air that often.
True.
But
that's true.
I would hope not.
Honestly, not somebody time. Else, it's kind of like flying blind in a lot of ways if you think about it with air traffic control and everything. They're making sure if you're getting close to anything else or at like different elevations and all, like the idea is that you can't run into anybody or anything, right? Like they'll start yelling at you. Like it's a GPS, you know, kind of thing. Like, hey, you gotta go up. Something happened
recently. It was like a plane was like landing on a strip that another plane was taking off on at the same time. They're like, oh shit, like cancel.
I actually did see that one. It was like the recording from air traffic control or whatever, and I think the guy was like basically sleeping on the job kind of thing. And they just had two people lined up on the same runway, and one person had to like pull out last second or something.
That's what I get. You know, Andrew was telling me about that Sky Park near ECS, like just that weird private strip.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, they call that Scare Park because everyone's super elderly and there's not really anyone at the tower ever. So it's just like very kind of flight roulette.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Like, they fly planes out of there at like 6 miles an hour or so.
Yeah. It's still.
Or like super light.
You should have some ample time to make some adjustments, I would think, flying out of there.
Yeah.
If your wits were about you.
Yeah. Maybe not everyone flying out of there, but. Yikes.
Yep.
Well, we got here some, because of emissions.
Yeah. Get to planes.
Planes, emissions.
Plane missions.
Jet fuel.
Trains, and automobiles.
Have you guys ever ridden in a train, like a long span?
How long? Like an hour or two?
No.
Yeah, I've been a couple like of hours. Nothing, more.
Like the one that you can sleep in?
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's on my bucket list. Sleep, but.
Oh, I think you were outside peeing when we were talking about that. Because Dave brought
I did talk about trains.
I wasn't peeing. I was calling about paperwork for motorcycles.
It's funny because Dave specifically mentioned trains.
Oh.
Like taking a train ride.
It's the autism.
I did a train from Rhode Island to Atlanta.
Okay.
It was supposed to be like 12 hours or something. And it was like 20. Because a train in front of us broke down and we were stuck for like 9 hours.
Oh!
Because you can't just, use the breakdown lane on a train.
No.
It's not an option.
Wow.
They
can't back that thing up to like some other thing with some other line or maybe, possibly? I guess not.
I guess not. We were stationary for a very long time. This is in high school. We were down there for a robotics competition. We were like, it's cheaper to take.
Fucking nerd.
Well, we're trying to bring like 20 people down there. Yeah. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
We never did it again.
This was an expensive school, though, I thought, right? You figure they'd rent a
limo
or something.
It's, the thing is, corporations like that run very similar to other corporations we're familiar with. Yeah, yeah. So think about
it's me. It's money for me, not for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of them.
All right. Well,
it's the way the world works.
Could have been a cool train ride.
Yeah, there was a lot of sitting around in the middle of the night, that's for sure.
Mm.
We didn't have sleeper things. You just had like the
seats.
Yeah. But like you could like move the table out of the way and kind of lay down, but it was not a great time.
Dude, you guys remember Megabus? Motherfucking Megabus.
Dude, Megabus.
One time I used to take it because it was like $1. It was like $1 for like a bus ticket. And that would
literally $1.
I used to
go 5 hours away.
So it would travel mostly. I would go between Chicago and Cleveland because my sister lived in Chicago. So like anytime I go to visit her when I was younger, I would just take the Megabus. And so basically you spend $1. Whenever you get it, you get a ride to Chicago for $1. One time on the way back, I think it died in like mid Indiana. And my parents,
Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, ooh. Like my parents had to drive from Cleveland to come get me like 3 or 4 hours, which is like almost to Chicago. And so the Megabus broke down, and then the one that came to pick us up broke down when it got there. So like they nixed
like coast to a stop.
They nixed Megabus like I think a few years after that.
What business plan was that?
No, I just saw a Megabus. They're still around.
And here's another thing. So they're double decker buses.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the news footage about the people getting killed on them?
No.
Because the drivers sometimes they have to reroute, and if they go under the bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a big glass fucking window in the front.
Oh, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah. So right. I won't. That's like back on that kind of like travel thing. I won't get on a Megabus anymore.
I think we did the bus to Atlanta at one point too, but it wasn't a Megabus.
Yeah.
We tried like every variation of getting to Atlanta. That's where like the championship, like world championship thing was every year. And boy, it's just enough trouble to try to wrangle like 20 high school kids to get there. It's not a good time.
They no longer do Cleveland.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
They don't do Akron. Let's see. Where do they do?
Mike, did you get my text?
Pennsylvania? Yeah. Okay. I already gave them the advice.
They are
in Pennsylvania. I just wanted to make sure that that was the same.
Yep.
They're in New York, Michigan, Texas, Connecticut, Florida. Let's try to go from, Gary, Indiana.
God damn it.
Let's go. I actually stopped in Gary, Indiana once and got some barbecue. Probably the best barbecue I've ever had.
No way.
I swear to God.
Gary, Indiana buses only go to Chicago or Naperville, Illinois also.
So they've.
But
they've,
if you get to Chicago, there. From there, where can you go? Go from Chicago to Florida?
South Dakota.
Florida.
This is the worst website ever.
How do I mean, you every do travel website is pretty terrible.
Pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah.
You just, I can't. It's telling me to pick a date, but it won't let me pick a date.
Yeah. Too soon.
I
404 error cannot be found.
Why is there a button for special needs?
That's for you, Kevin.
Oh.
Yeah, when he can't find the date.
Well, that's a no go apparently. So,
oh well.
Let's see where we go for Chicago. Chicago to. Atlanta. Where do we want to go?
Atlanta.
Florida.
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 Florida. Nation's nursing home.
Those are not options. Mostly Michigan. Omaha, Nebraska is pretty far.
Oh yeah, let's go to Nebraska.
Boy,
you have to pick dates. And it, okay, there we go. Of okay, course. All right, here we go. Now it's working.
It's not much else near Omaha, let me tell you.
I wonder if they charge extra. You can
get some steaks there, though. Some
steaks.
I wonder if they charge extra for special needs. $123.
Got to get it on the date, man.
The dollar's local or something. I don't
know. They used to do it. It used to be like a dollar.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't
it
all the time.
Says, like, it still says it on the side of the bus. It says a dollar.
Yeah, they're thinking, yeah, right. It's a, okay, so it says booking from $1 and... Also, all transactions will occur a $3.99 booking fee.
Plus a $120 service fee and then a tip for your driver that's mandatory. So.
Right. Fuel fee and
emissions, travel fee.
Oh, yeah. EPA
tax.
Fee.
Yeah.
Got pop ups on their website and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
You have a virus now.
Really no good. Scooping up that money. All right. Well, that was fun. Dave, tell us about your series of unfortunate events.
Oh, man. So, last time I really drove the Corrado, I drove it to Fat Man's, and it was kind of making, like, a funky noise, but I kind of just wrote it off as, like, something's loose. Like, not a big deal. Like, whatever. Like,
I'll just ignore it.
Yeah, that's what I did, right? But I haven't really driven it since. Because, I didn't really mess with anything, and I'm like, okay, it's old. Something's probably just, whatever. And like, how I mentioned the wheel bearing at one point, I was like, I think that wheel bearing is starting to go. Well, I done found out that wheel bearing was indeed starting to go. I tried to drive it to my parents' house this weekend because I was watching the house and I was going to like do some track prep stuff on it. Just kind of drain the brake fluid, put new brake fluid in, drain the coolant, put water in, et cetera, whatever. I get about a quarter of the way there. I get to like Kent and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I hear a noise. And all of a sudden, the car goes from the right lane into the left lane on its own. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I'm like, whatever. So I get off the exit.
Like, whatever.
And I'm like, okay. And then it stopped. I like put the brake on a little bit and it stopped doing it. I'm like, what the fuck is
this? You need
another
beer for this. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's fine. Get your beer.
Yeah, grab me one.
So
yeah, sure.
I hit the brake a little bit and I was it like it straightened itself out and I was like, okay, that's kind of
as they do.
Yeah, it's kind of weird
as they do when the brake straightens your wheel back up again when the wheel bearing doesn't exist. Well,
you're literally using your caliper bracket to
well, right. So
I've done this.
So we had left foot brake it the whole way there.
So I like turn around, I went home, I get home. And like, okay, so last time, keep in mind, I didn't realize this, but last time I had checked the wheel bearing, I had left the e-brake on, not thinking anything of it.
Oh,
because you know
Jesus,
how you do
Dave.
The good old shake test? This is totally 100% my fault. You do the shake test, and I was like, no, it seems fine. Like, it's tight. Like, it's all good.
Yeah, no shit, the brake's on.
Usually is your fault.
Well, yeah, obviously. So I get home and this motherfucker is damn near on fire. It is smoking so bad.
Wait,
and
was the e-brake on again?
No, no, no. This was just from driving it home. And I'm like, no way is it that bad. So I jacked the fucking thing up and there's like 2 inches of play along the entire thing.
You're luckier. Why would you even do that? You know what would happen if it actually failed, right?
Yeah.
Driving home?
Yeah, it would fuck a bunch of shit up.
Yeah, your whole like quarter panel would be fucked.
It can't go that far. Oh, it's still got a caliper to hang on to, you know? I mean, it's got some time.
Listen, I'm not saying...
The caliper's hanging onto the rotor. That's what's keeping the thing on the car. It's
the only thing that's keeping it on the car.
Yeah.
Because those on those wheel bearings, they're pressed into the rotor.
Yeah,
on those. So, like, that's it. So, yes, you're right. I didn't know it was happening because it's the first time I've ever blown out a wheel bearing. But nonetheless, I learned a valuable lesson.
Jesus Christ, buy AAA or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't that far from home. It was fine. But so I got home. It was hot.
You were in Kent. I mean, that's a half hour?
From my house? It's like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's 10 minutes. So I got home and I was like, damn, this thing's damn near on fire. So note to self, double check that shit without the e-brake on. I learned a lesson. Yeah. That's my own fault. Also, the power steering rack finally gave out at the same time. So a series of unfortunate events it has been. I got parts from SCP Euro the other day.
Ignoring noises like that just never works out.
But it didn't sound like a wheel. It didn't sound like a bearing noise. It sounded like,
because it was a bearing noise like 6 months ago. That's the thing. You missed the noise, and you got to the point where like bad stuff's touching other bad stuff.
Oh yeah,
and that's what you heard, and that's why it's surprising.
I heard some stuff. It was not pleasant.
I know.
So
I've also done this.
Gonna try.
But I ignored quite a bit.
So, going to try to get it ready for September, mid-September, for that Nelson event. We'll see what happens. Power steering rack's kind of hard to come by, so I got to try to find one of those as well. But,
isn't it the same as, like...
I've used Rack Doctor. They're pretty good.
Mark II, Mark III, whatever. Isn't it the same rack?
There's a TRW rack and a ZF rack, and I don't know the year ranges of what ZF rack was in.
You could probably swap back and forth.
Yeah, I don't think that would matter.
A couple lines, a couple tie rods, maybe.
They might not be cross-compatible because of like threads for outer tie rods and things like that.
I'm sure I could find one. So
yeah, swap inner tie rods, and then they fit.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But when we were at Vintage Moto Days, remember my switch died, my start go button switch died on the Moto 4.
I don't remember that.
So I fixed it. It just. So I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but the harnesses that go into those switches are actually like pretty tight. Like they're not as, they don't have a lot of leeway for, I guess, wear is what I'd say.
Well, depending on how you route it around the bars, yeah.
True. So mine failed at Mid-Ohio during Vintage Moto Days, so it wouldn't start. So I took it apart, and I re-soldered everything back together, and now it works again. So I did that, too.
Good job.
Yeah. Nice. Yesterday, I was at Mid-Ohio again. We were getting some tire data from some of the guys at Auto Interest that run the Sport R. Matan Rosenberg, I think is his name. I went out with him. We got some tire temps and whatnot. But I'll tell you what. I've never been. This is my first time riding on Mid-Ohio, let alone in something that's, you know, capable of doing high speeds in the straights. And I had a good time. It was definitely something like an eye-opener for me because, like, I'm into that. But
yeah, driving things fast is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think we needed
to do it sideways. It's even more fun.
Well, that's kind of like, it's like my first real track experience other than like, you know, doing ride alongs with you guys and the drift cars and stuff. But doing fast track day things.
When have you done that?
We did that years ago.
Whenever we first built the parking lot.
It's been some years. No, yeah. I did it when you guys were at Erie a few times.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. Four years ago.
Yeah. I just got the notification yesterday that 4 years ago, that yesterday, the drift car made it out, like, and was playing around the parking lot with the wrap on it.
Yeah,
it's like, whew.
I think I have the skeleton videos of that somewhere. I have to
poor E34 hasn't moved in a long time.
Oh, yeah,
rip. But
well,
Yeah, no. So got some tire data. That was kind of an interesting for me to learn.
Oh yeah, what were you driving in?
It was a C5.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You get, like, tire probes. What are you working with here? What
it was like
talking?
The temperature, whatever the
IR sensor.
It starts with a P. I don't know, some sort of probably. Well, I mean probe, but like, we were essentially. He was running two sets of tires, right? He was running Falcons on a square setup, essentially, like where the tire had no stretch and it was square. And then he was running our tires with a little bit of stretch on a wider wheel. So he was having some issues with temps on his like left front side, where he had gotten a blown out once or twice from high temps. So we had gone and taken the temperature of the tires after some lap times, and it was like 119, 120 degrees on the inner portion of the tire. So it was a little hot.
That's not hot.
So, I mean, yeah.
Well, I don't know. But
Celsius?
No.
Yes. That's what I'm seeing, I feel like.
But compared to the temperatures that he was getting elsewhere, it wasn't. I mean, we essentially took the data and we're doing whatever with it. But I learned some stuff, and it was fun. So
that's interesting. What?
Did you?
I mean, I did.
I don't know what the probe is. Yeah, I'm just like 120 degrees. Like,
yeah, that ain't shit.
That's not. That's not. No, it wasn't 120 degrees.
Yeah, you could put your hand on that.
I'd have to look.
I've had like well hotter than that just driving home from work. Like I go home. I gave the Volvo a touch more toe in when I saw a little cord wear, and then like I got home and put my hand on the tire and immediately had to pull it right back off because it was like way too much toe.
Yeah.
Thing was scalding hot. And that's after sitting in traffic, getting off the highway.
But
so
yeah, I don't know. Was right. I'm just a marketing
pavement
guy.
Gets that temperature with the sun.
That's,
you know,
I mean,
like,
yeah. It's 150, 160 with,
yeah, you're right.
Direct sunlight.
Yeah, be sitting in a parking lot.
Yeah. Don't leave your dog in the car, that's why.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to ask Mike. Other Mike.
It's me.
Nexon Mike.
Oh.
Hmm. But no, it was
Mike at Nexon.
Mike at Nexon, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Mike. He's been at ECS a few times. You've probably met him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, short. He's short, kind of. He wears Vans.
This is got not. Some how's, what does he hair. Drive? How is yeah. it? This is not.
I think he's driving, he's driving a Z3. He had, I think they just put a Turner thing on it, on the Z3.
A Z3?
Yeah.
We didn't have
it's
a
blue Z3. I don't know. He was working with Chatfield.
We didn't have a Z3 in that I'm aware of.
Well, I don't know. But he was over there a few days ago. But he's
nice.
A good dude. But overall, I don't know. Full course track day things. It was cool to see the auto interest guys. I haven't talked to Jason in a while. So I don't know, it was just kind of.
All right. So you're cool. So you're complaining about the progress on the Corrado because you have to do a wheel bearing?
Oh, I'm not complaining about it. There was no complaints. Hmm. No, no.
Okay. It's got to be the cheapest wheel bearing to do.
It was pretty cheap.
$30?
I bought the whole new spindle, like the stubby Jesus axle. Christ. It was $30, and then the wheel bearing was like $25.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not bad. So, no, not complaining.
All right, so what turbo parts did you buy?
I haven't bought any turbo parts.
Why?
I just haven't.
I don't know why you guys have any hope left. Like,
there's still hope. It's just a series of unfortunate
events.
Yeah, you're
right. I'm just going to give up.
You guys suck. It's fine. There's a whole winter ahead.
You know what happens when we give up? We don't help you anymore.
Dave, when did we first start talking about this?
I don't know. A long time ago?
Probably
5 years ago?
Probably at least a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there. You had a whole winter last year.
Yeah. Listen, I'm aware. I didn't do shit last winter. I'm aware of that.
He did admit that on the podcast specifically.
Multiple
times. I didn't do shit all winter.
I didn't do fucking
shit.
He
just straight up said it.
I didn't do that. But that's all I got. So did some fun stuff yesterday at the track and learned some bits maybe. Broke the car. Got to fix the car. Leaving for Overland tomorrow.
Planning time to fix the car.
Crandon the following weekend. So I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I leave again for
Crandon?
For championship off-road and
cool.
Ultra 4.
Nice.
So,
I might be gone next week. Well, I'm going to be gone next week, depending on what day we do this, but I also have a bunch of shit to get done before leaving, so if you guys want to cast without me, that might be worth it. I don't know. It's up to you.
Call me. I took off all next week.
When do you leave?
Oh, nice. What
day do you leave?
Oh, I'm driving back home Thursday.
Next Thursday?
Yeah. But I'm like wildly under the gun to get the X5 like more done than it is.
Yeah, that's fine.
So.
Okay. What about you, Kevin?
Built an RC crawler course.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
I haven't looked at it yet.
It's got like the right blend of like, there's some spots that like aren't that bad and you can kind of get your confidence up, and there's spots that are like, whoa, this is wildly challenging. So got quite the variety going on.
Yeah, it was actually a really good clean out of all the materials that I've had like kicking around that I was just like, I should keep this for something eventually. And like finally was like, okay, I can use it for that. Use all this junk that I bought a while ago and just has been sitting around. It's 2x4s, little pieces, conduit, old tires, rope, yes. Wire mesh, rocks. I don't know. So, yeah, that was interesting. Did that. Took the car out of the trailer yesterday. Swapped over tires. Getting ready for round three. My power steering lines are swollen again.
Ugh.
I cannot win with this stuff. Like, there needs to, somebody needs to make a rubber line that just can be an ATF and be okay.
They
like,
did.
What line is that?
I don't know what it is, but they exist. Like,
yeah, it's not.
Let's go to AN or something.
Yeah.
That's what I did, the PTFE fellows.
Oh, I've done it without the PTFE.
Yeah, I know. If AN should be able to handle it. PTFE is ready for like 3,000 PSI. So.
I do the PTFE on the high pressure line from pump to rack, and then everything else is just normal AN. So
I need honestly the same price. So
it's just like I never have enough of it at the time, and
need a reservoir, I think, for that. Just because it's right now, it's just like the nipple and the plastic thing. So
oh yeah, it's hard to get AN on that.
Yeah, yep. You're right. It has to be a conversion, which running the same problem anyway, so
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I poked at one of my fuel lines and started leaking immediately.
What inclined you to do that? I was curious.
I was just poking around stuff, you know, every once in a while.
Pulling
the hat off your fuel cell? Just poking around?
No, it was under the car.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking that was one of them goofy ones that was in your tank.
No, I didn't take that out. If that's leaking, that's leaking. I don't we'll find
okay.
out.
Okay.
Yeah.
It usually just goes to zero when there's a problem.
Yeah. At least it's leaking in a place where you can catch it all.
No, I was just looking, you know, over the lines, checking everything, making sure things weren't rubbing against stuff. A little rubbing here and there on the subframe and stuff. So I was like, just poked the hose just a little bit and it started dripping off the fuel filter. I was like, oh, how about that? And
not even under pressure.
Well, it had residual pressure.
Yeah, not running, but enough.
It was a check valve, so it had...
It should hold for
something.
A bit.
Not 40 PSI, but, you know, maybe
20, 30. I guess if you had just driven it, I mean, it'll bleed down to nothing eventually.
Yeah, I drove
it
in
hours,
here.
Really.
Yeah.
I've had it hold 20 for a couple days.
Really?
Yeah.
I drove it in here, put it on the lift, and then...
Okay.
So, it wasn't that long. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just talking about some fire suppression stuff. Thinking about it.
Getting the fire suppression set thing, like the whole nozzles and...
Yep.
It's not that bad.
It's really not that expensive for what it is.
It's like less than $500, right?
Yeah.
Foreign change.
Just insulation time and...
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Something... It's on the list, but there's always other things. I'm like, well...
Yeah.
I don't know. Could be fine, could not.
You should just practice getting out of the car quick.
I can do that. That's easy.
Yeah, but while it's moving, it still doesn't help you.
While it's
you get out and just like, you know, that's the thing.
And
okay,
then practice getting out of the passenger side, because sometimes that driver's side door don't work.
So you do it 60, the thing catches fire. Then what? That's what always
gets
me.
Oh, you remember seeing that video maybe a year or two ago? It was like underground, not... Like, it was, I think, the channel, like, Underground Street Racing or something like that. There was, like, a Audi S3, like, a newfangled one, but all hopped up and everything.
RS3.
RS3. Yep. And it was doing highway pulls and mm-hmm. literally caught on fire and doing 100 miles an hour, and it melted the brake lines.
Yeah.
So then there was this nothing. Eventually, he just tried to like scrub it up against like the Jersey barriers and everything. But still, it went for like a while. And by the time it was actually stopped, like the thing was cooking.
That's the shit that gives me nightmares.
Yeah.
Is that.
Yeah.
Like. So. I feel like, you know, brakes are typically not going to fail you that much, but you never know. And I don't know.
That was, I think the problem with that was, is like, you know, you're going fast enough. It's on the highway. You actually don't realize you're on fire for a pretty extended period of time.
Oh yeah.
So,
or you get enough wind because of things you're doing highway pulls like a moron doing 150 or something, but
things just embers getting hotter, and then you kind of slow down and it actually gets engulfed in flames.
Exactly. Yeah. So not as big of an issue with other aspects of realer motorsporting, but still, that's the stuff that like I've seen enough stuff like that. I'm like, you know, I want enough time to like be able to get on the brakes. Slow this
thing down.
It's
one of those things like where I'm sure I've thought of it before, but it's, you kind of put it out of your mind like, oh yeah, like I guess my brake lines could melt. Like you just don't really think about that. You're like, oh yeah, I could always just pull over.
Right.
Well, you know, not necessarily.
Yeah.
They're all hard lines and like in the engine bay.
It just takes one soft line to go out and then no brakes.
Dual master.
Yeah, okay. One of each. Still not the same. Or even if you're doing that fast, you try to just use your rears. Like, that's you're wishing for a lot. I don't. I mean, I have the hydro e-brake, but like if I blew a line, same story. So.
Yeah, it's hydro.
Hydro.
Separate system.
Separate line, but the same. Fluid, I don't know, routed right next to its other line.
Yeah.
If I lost one, I probably lost both.
I think most, if you're going to have
just
a
one
big
of those
fire,
things, like, you can't necessarily slow down as quick as you want. And, like, I'm not saying, like, I lost all brakes, but even the fact that, like, oh, I'm doing 80 and you have to get on the brakes, that takes longer than you think to get down to zero or enough where I'm comfortable getting out of the thing. Like,
yeah, and honestly, like, unrelated to fire even, you know, a brake failure in general can be what causes you to be in trouble.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, brake fade or boiling it or just, blowing out of line or something like that. So, I mean, that can be the cause of a fire or being in an undesirable location or something like that.
Yeah, crashes don't scare me, fires scare me. That's, like, the whole gist of it. So, I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's like hooking up the cables, the most annoying part.
Right. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But I don't
know. The hose itself was like chintzy, and I didn't like it, but it works. I get it. But
this is hardline stuff, right? It's like cheap hardline,
sort of. But it's like plastic lined. It's not full hardline tube inside. It's like wrapped, so it's like a spiral.
Hmm.
So. It's not a full metal tube.
That's ugly.
You don't see it, but
it's on the inside.
It's when you cut it, you can see that it's a spiral.
Okay.
It's encased in plastic, so they inside and outside is plastic.
Mm-hmm. It's like push to connect fittings.
Kinda, yeah, yeah. All the fittings are like that, push to connect style. But it's got metal inside it, but it's not full circle.
Yeah,
and that bothered me.
Hmm.
But it's in there now. Whatever.
Interesting.
It bends nice.
That's good.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's on the consideration list. Maybe it's a next year thing. I don't know.
Maybe it's a next car.
Maybe
thing.
I talked about it and now I need to do it type of thing. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it should be a silver car thing at least.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's definitely.
The old silver bullet, you know?
Yeah. So either way, until I have that, I try to keep an eye on things like fuel line connections and check them over every once in a while. If I look over the car, I poke at the lines and.
Well, regardless, you should do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And less connections, more better.
Yes.
Always.
True.
Although full car soft line, not okay. So just to put that.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, that's the worst.
It's only two
possible.
Connections.
You're
but...
right. You're right. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
I mean, why? Why?
What do you mean?
I mean, theoretically.
Just dangly weirdness like that can get caught on stuff and rupture.
But if it was properly secured, I mean, I guess,
like run in a protective
if it's
channel
in a tube,
or something.
Then why not just using a hard tube? I don't know. I could
have connections.
Yeah, I guess. If you put it in its own conduit, more power to you. Good luck. I like it at that point, but
just run like electrical.
But if you bent the conduit, you could have just bent the hard line, right? But less connections. So
it's always a balance of that. Yeah. Like I do the same thing with every coolant connection. I think about like what's the least amount of connections for the most amount of serviceability
for a well insulated, like well protected fuel line. Your hard line would be a smaller overall diameter for that volume. So
less in the way, and could it'll be take less, a hit better.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
potentially,
a rubber line doesn't take a hit from something pointy very well.
No, or something hot.
Or hot, yeah. Aluminum's better at hot than rubber.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing some of the aluminum hardline stuff, and I'm kind of
I liked what you did on the, what was it, 944?
944, I did.
Did the hard lines, and yeah, I was a little jealous of that. I liked that idea, and then I thought about it with the BMW, and I was like, well, I don't. First off, it is expensive.
The hard line
is very expensive, and I didn't have any of the tools to like bend it and all that stuff, so.
I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
But I already bought the tools for the last one. Yep. And yeah. This time I'm only doing one line though. No return line. Screw that. I wish I had like thought about that when I did the 944 and just put one at the like the fitting the regulator at the back and just let it eat.
Hmm.
But whoops.
Oops.
Yep.
It's always next time, which is now.
Other than that, I had some parts show up for the 46. Little coilover action, little motor mount, brake rotor, ceramic pad, parking brake, oil filter housing gasket, oil pan gasket action. So,
so you're going out to this track day that Dave's going to then?
In the Corvette?
No, in the E46. Doing all this work, ceramic pads.
Not, is it not dusty?
No, that's just for just for my like OCD on keeping wheels clean.
I feel you. I hate that. It's cleaning gross. Wheels with a passion.
It is. It's terrible.
Awful.
Especially with those brandy new silver wheels on the plane that I just powder coated.
It's like my wheels get darker and I'm like, well, that's just the color they are now.
I got the super fancy pants, like race pads in the 944, and you touch the brakes twice and they're black again. You're like, wow, why did I do this?
Bright orange wheels.
Well, I switched to the black ones because of it.
I got the white wheels for the Corvette showed up too, so
yeah,
coat white. Those and yeah,
white wheels are the best.
Let's go with the theme, you know.
Yeah, don't
clear tails, do white wheels.
Sheesh,
white wheels look the best.
You can put some anime on the side of the car too, or something. Or?
You never know. Yeah,
like quadruple ceramic coat the wheels or something.
Yeah, it's so worth it with brand new wheels.
Yeah,
I did that on the best. The E46 too. Yeah.
The best thing you can do.
Makes it easy to wipe off, but it still shows up. So
yeah, it still shows up, but
you can almost just spray it off. Not quite.
Yeah,
but
not
just
quite.
About.
It's too fine of a dust, but it almost works.
Yeah, I had some China spacer show up for the E46 for the rear. Had to like machine the chamfer down because they're 10 mil.
Oh, 10 mil is a goofy size anyway.
I
know.
That's like the size I needed though.
Yeah,
and it still wasn't quite there. It still like took some torque to get the thing to seat all the way. Didn't vibrate or anything, but
watch. You got factory bolts, right? Or the slightly longer factory style bolt.
Yep.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah, they hit stuff in there.
Yeah.
Had to grind those down.
You just
hit an e-brake.
Yeah, it wasn't bad enough to like not drive it, but
you hear it.
Yep.
The whole time. Yeah.
And I pulled the e-brake and it got really loud. I was like, oh.
Yep.
So I have new parking brake shoes anyway, and that's needed it for a while. So that's on the to-do list. I think that's it.
Nice.
Let's see. Really nothing that exciting. I did a couple little things on that there BMW. Hoping to really knock out a lot next week. Like I mentioned, I took off a week of vacation with no other plans other than working the car.
When was it supposed to run by?
Shut up.
I expect.
Yeah, that. No. So did I, honestly. I mean, I played along because, like, sure, like, yeah, let me give myself some motivation, like some unnecessary goal to aim for. But, I mean, it's I feel like I said it was close before, but I feel like it's, you know, more close now. You know,
that last 10% takes long.
Yeah.
So long.
Like, really, though, I wasted a ton of time earlier this week because I was working on doing the whole digital dash pie thing. And so I did like a couple versions of like a 3D print. I gutted like the stock cluster and tried to like come up with something nice that was going to hold the display in there, and went through like a couple revisions of like a 3D printed doodad that I was going to like, you know, basically just panel bond to the existing cluster, and got that like done to the point where I was happy with it, and try and put it in there, and it just like wouldn't fit.
Oh, that's the worst.
Inside the dash, you know, just because I was like, idiot, should have checked out at rev one, you know, but I was all excited because it was like real close, and I was like, oh, just a couple more millimeters here and the screen's gonna fit real nice and it's gonna fit in this cluster, and you know, it wasn't that oversized for anything, and I was like, I can make it work. I can't make it work. so
you gutted the factory cluster.
Yeah, to get like the because if I had a 3D scanner, I would have just done 3D printed the whole like bezel for it. But since like the shape of the E39 like dashboard is like real swoopy in every direction, I was trying. So basically, the idea was like cut out all the factory gauges to have a flat face at the back, and then I was going to mount the screen off of that, which took way more time than it should have. But there's a lot of pieces to those that you all have to cut apart, and it's plastic, and they use a Dremel, and it's hot mess everywhere. Yeah, so
hot, sticky, awful.
So I'm kind of back at square one with that. So I kind of just have to. I'm going to try a couple more things, but it doesn't seem like it's going to work. So that's a bummer. But anyways, I finished all the like switch panels and everything for the interior, and I've been I've thrown away. It's like the classic waste paper basket full of like ideas and stuff like that, where I've like laid out like how I'm going to do like main power to mega squirt to switch panel to master cutoff and all that other stuff. And I'm running around in circles a little bit because I want the mega squirt to like ultimately control everything. I just want overrides. Yeah. So I want to be able to force the fans on for the radiator, for an oil cooler, for the water pump. Problem is,
you can do that through the mega squirt though.
Sorta. The nice thing is with those, like the nicer switch panels are basically solid state relays. So you could power the fans and everything directly from the switch panel. Yeah. And I don't have to use any standard like relays, which would be really nice.
I was thinking you could just feed it signals to the mega squirt though, and just be like, you can do those.
But then I cannot drive fans and everything directly off the mega squirt. So then I would need a separate. Sort of. The switch panel only has three inputs.
Oh.
So I was like, that's like the nice like Switch Pro switch panel.
It has three inputs.
Well, it's triggers, buzzer, right?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
From the panel to the little solid-state relay boxes?
Oh, that is. I'm just saying it only takes three inputs into the switch panel.
Yeah, well, it's a CAN bus between itself, though, so you could, in theory, get in there CAN bus-wise and tell CAN bus things.
Okay. I don't know that. I don't know CAN bus that well.
Okay, fair enough.
So...
But it's possible.
The brain is working hard on this, and like, what do I want on what switch where, and what do I want to control everything? And like, ultimately, like I don't want to deviate from letting the computer control everything because you can forget to turn things on and all that other stuff. And I don't want to deal with that. So, still trying to lay that out. But anyways, I made the switch panel, powder coated it. It's installed in the dash. Aside from the digital dash portion of that, which I just need a mount. I mean, it's there, but
really, you only need like really, it's just the fan as an override.
Well, I'm doing the electric water pump too, which is PWM controlled, which you also
problems. You don't need an override for that though.
Just leave the car running.
I don't, but I want like a cool down button.
Yeah, but you can do that through the mega squirt. Just activate it. Like you can go in, you can do that through your laptop or through your Pi Dash and get that to work. If you like the 3 times a year you bleed the cooling system, if you had it apart, you could totally do that. You don't need
to
do that.
I'm talking like you're in the pits, shut the car off, cool everything down. So water pump on, radiator fan on, oil cooler on.
Yeah, but like
just run
really
the car.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying even if like the temperatures aren't anything crazy, I'm saying cool it down because you're going to try
and hot lap or something.
If you're
going to cool it down though, like it should cool itself. I think you should have the capacity for like
it definitely
don't give yourself that like that out to like, oh, I need to like have this mode where I put it in the pits.
Yeah, but I
not
want
running.
That mode.
You should have like a bleed mode, like, but you can do that through the.
Sure, yeah, no, everything I can do through the Mega Squirt. Like, yeah. I don't need any switches technically.
I think you're going to put all that stuff in and you're never going to use it.
Right.
I disagree.
Feed one switch into the Mega Squirt, though, and just have it do all that stuff via.
I thought about that. That is an option. Problem is, then I need separate relays. So.
Right, I get that. Well, but if you want Mega Squirt to control those things anyway, you need separate relays. So.
No, I can control a certain amount of things. So, like, I can put 2 outputs to the switch panel, which would then trigger whatever the switch panel wants to do through solid state relays, which would be really nice. So, and I'm definitely going to do that for as many things as I can. It's just laying all that stuff out.
You can daisy chain it. So you just trigger the Mega Squirt to tell those things to come on again, though.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can have a separate input for that.
Talk to itself again. And yeah, it's goofy.
I get it, but
just trying to like, you know, not have to do this over and have it be janky later.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At the same time, like ripping on track, whatever. By the time you like, you drive through the pits, like park the thing.
Hopefully I'm just,
I never park for more than like, leave it running for like a minute at most. And then it's like back to normal temp, shut it down.
That would be great. I just don't want to have that problem.
I don't think you're going to have that problem. Like, even when mine went full nuclear, like 280.
Yeah.
I pulled into, like, in front of my trailer.
I have a very aggressive cooling system as well.
I just let it
when
idle.
It's running.
And it's like, all right. Because I wanted all the cool down at once, too. Not just like,
well,
I was like, just leave it running. And, like, you know, I don't need the pistons to cool down separately from the motor. Like,
I'm not saying I want all that stuff to happen separately. I just think it.
I want all the stuff moving with oil and like flowing the things while it cools. I don't need it to cool off on it like just without everything else moving. Like at that point, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I recognize. I mean,
I'll just spray with the hose if that's the case. You know.
I mean, aside from oil, like I can make everything else move. So I don't know.
Electric oil pump.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
No, don't.
I'm not doing that. But I have electric steering pump and electric water pump. So I'm like, I can turn those on with the car off. So anyways. That's just kind of where.
Just don't get buried in this thing. It's not, you don't.
You've got some options, but I think either way, you want the ECU to control it.
Yes.
So just try to figure it out in ways. If you need a mode like that, like give the ECU a mode.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's
turn
all those,
on
like,
max pump or whatever.
Inputs loops
those,
and everything.
Yeah,
not a problem. Yeah,
those
like,
are so
I,
easy.
I can think of ways to do it. I'm just trying to simplify it, and that's.
I think that's the simplest, personally. Yeah. But then you can alter them if need be.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, just trying to brain through that. Otherwise, it's pretty close.
Nice.
Oil cooler, made a shroud for that, and did fans and all that for those. That was took a couple days of brain power for that one. But yeah, I mean, I was like trying to like, it was funny because I was like kept avoiding the wiring stuff every once in a while. Like, it's like, I really need to do this wiring, and then I was like, I feel like making something, so I like find something else to make. So I'm pretty much out of stuff to make. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah, or at least for now. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, so that's it.
Well, I'm under the SEMA crunch, but somewhat self-inflicted a little soon because I know coming up I don't have much time. So, like, I know my October is super jammed up, and then I'm going on vacation in a week. So I'm trying to, like, really get ahead of the curve and get some shit moving here. So I'm trying to knock out all the hardcore fab work on the chassis like by the end of this weekend, which is an astronomical amount of welding. I'm kind of mortified. But so I'm going through everything, trying to make every, think of every like bracket and tab that I want to add to the chassis now. I ordered some like paint. I'm just going to like roll the whole bottom side of the thing and just get like, I'm not talking body work on the quarters yet. Like that's still going to take some filler work.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the X5, by the way, because no one else knows, but that's going to SEMA and I need it done and it needs to look okay. So I'm trying to make enough moves now where I can get the chassis sorted, bolt everything back in for realsies, not have to take it back out again. So then I can actually make all my AN lines and figure all that out and like get everything plumbed and working without having to like blow, knowing I don't have to blow it apart again, because that sucks. So I'm working my way. I did a bunch of stuff at the front. Like I did some hard pipes for the heater core stuff because it's on the wrong side of the engine, the wrong side of the engine bay. So I plumbed it all behind the crank pulley and water pump. I made nice stainless hard liney dues and got that across and made the hard lines. So that's all fine. I've moved back to the rear of the thing. So I knocked out the exhaust, which I think it might've been done last week, but it was close to done.
Yep.
It's the tightest exhaust I've ever made in my life. It touches like everything at once. Horrendous, but it's in there and that's cool. And that meant I could figure out where the bumper needed to go for real. Like, so I want some support to the bottom side of the bumper. So I'm going to bounce the thing off rocks and stuff. And it's plastic.
Doesn't that mean you'd want nose support?
No, because I'm not okay with losing a bumper. Like, I'm okay with rock rash and stuff. Like, it can earn its scars. That's fine. But if I lose pieces, that does not work for me. So I'm trying to, like, give it structure behind it. And I don't want it to hurt the body behind it either.
Yeah.
So I made a little like a two bumpery thing behind the bumper that fits nice. I had to shorten the bumper like 5 inches because a 40 inch tire takes up most of where the bumper used to be. So I panel bonded it back together, figured that out, and reinforced it and panel bonded again. So then now I just panel bonded on before I left work today, the tabs back onto the bumper. So I can then weld the tabs back to the body in their different spot before I paint that. So it's been a whole ordeal of trying to think of all this stuff. So fuel lines, another hard one. I machined the tube today with like some 6AN ORB fittings. So I'm going to put that through a frame rail. I drilled one hole through. I'm going to weld that in so I can get from inner body rail to outer body rail without having to go under it where I'm going to rip it off. It's a whole bunch of thinking. Like, it's been hard. I did wrap up the interior today, which is cool. Like, the whole trunk where I put giant shock towers where the whole, like, trunk floor used to be and all the interior panels. I finished up the last three tabs I needed to, like, mount all the interior pieces again. So I trimmed them all, got them to fit, cut the trunk floor, made all the reinforcement pieces so that fits again. So then I can at least paint it, and then I got to recarpet some of it and whatever. Like, that's a future me problem. But for now, I can at least get it painted, done, and then the next time I bolt that stuff in, it'll stay there and doesn't have to come out again.
Yeah.
So that's the whole major hurdle. There's a couple things going on up front that I'll have to figure out later, but I'm pressuring myself real hard trying to get this moving.
Does ECS have a booth there?
No. Okay. It's going in one of the Lucamali spots.
Okay.
Outside, I believe.
Cool.
Is one of those spots. So.
Okay.
Which, for what it is, it's fine.
Yeah, we're not exhibiting either, but I'll be there as well. So
nice.
I'm sure we can grab a beer. And
absolutely.
Beers
by
will
then,
be
I'll need a couple beers.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Cranking away. I got, like, the last things I need to do on the back are, like, brake line tabs and, like, limit strap tabs. I need to figure out where those can live. Zap them on, then pull everything back out again. And
what's a limit strap? Is that like the
you don't want the shock
travel?
To hold up a 900-pound axle
yeah, okay,
at full
yeah,
droop?
Yeah, yeah,
you want like the just typically like you know the straps you'd use to strap something down, but
yeah.
like you bolt those in, accounting for the stretch to some capacity, so that the shock doesn't hold everything.
In yeah, full, okay. Full I figured that's
can
what
you
it
just
was.
Go to like the upper shock mount?
In some cases, you can. I cannot.
Okay.
Yeah, keep the strap out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I don't have enough space for the shock, never mind the strap. So, but there's some places for the strap to go. I just got to figure out how to like weld in a bung in a nice spot. It's also like all the shocks and stuff are in place because I need to know where they are, but I can't weld next to them because then the spatter gets all over them and it drives me bananas. So,
can you just do like towards the differential? Just do like a big U strap around the center strap?
You can. It's not the same, but.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that gives it when yeah. you're. Yeah.
Huh. Hmm. I have some ideas, but the front ones are easy. The rear ones are a little trickier, but spatially. But yeah, that's basically my life right now.
Cool.
Wow.
Got a lot to do.
You got some stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think we're finished up here. So stay tuned for an episode. Hopefully in the next few weeks, if we're all here, and if not,
I think
then
we can do next week. Well, maybe with or without Mike.
Probably at least three out of four. Yeah,
we'll right, figure it out. Fine. Well, just listen or keep an eye out. That's
okay.
It. Okay. Bye.
No guarantees.